second speaker, Mariah, from the Frederick area.
Oh, my God. There's so many of you out there. And I have to tell you, did I say my name's Mariah? I'm an addict. Okay, a nervous addict. My home group is off the beaten path meeting of Narcotics Anonymous in Mount Airy, Maryland. And we have about 10 people on a regular basis. Often it's 5. If we're lucky, we have a big night, we might have 14. So this is really overwhelming. And I'm like shaking. My palms are sweaty. And I just keep thinking at 5 o'clock, this is all over. Also, I keep thinking about that I've been clean for a while, since 1986. And since then, I've had an... It's not me. That is you guys. You or why I've been clean that long. It makes me cry. I'm really, really emotional about this program because you guys saved my life. Okay? I was dying when I came here on every level, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And if it wasn't for you guys, the people that are in those rooms, every meeting I went to, I would not be here today. And I have an awesome life now. I have a life that is worth living. And I did not when I walked in these doors. And I love my life. And so I'm really passionate about this program. And I will be grateful. And I am grateful. And I also cry a lot. So I think my gratitude comes out in the wet form. You know, it just drips. But When I saw the topic, I thought, okay, benefits of home group / sponsorship. Like, that's like asking, what's the benefit of air? Like, if you don't breathe, you will die. And if you don't have a home group and you don't have a sponsor, you will not recover. At least that's my experience. And so I came to this fellowship off the streets, didn't go through treatment. I was in a methadone clinic, but that was not treatment. That was enabling. They told me there's something out there called Narcotics Anonymous. And I think they gave me, I don't know what they gave me, but I had a helpline number. So I called that number and I said, you know, like, what's the deal here? And they said, well, we have meetings, we have literature and all that. And I said, I'll take the literature. Could you mail it, please? I'm not, you know, I wasn't going to do something else. I knew about the other fellowship, which was, as far as I knew, made up of old men with cigarettes falling out of their mouths and coughing, you know. And so I wasn't doing that 12-step thing, but I could do the literature, the study at home program. But the guy, and thank you, I don't know who this guy was, and he was in my area, and I will never know probably, but the guy that I spoke to said, we cannot send you a book, you have to go to the meeting. And he told me about a woman's meeting. And people that know me know that it is really fucking strange that I went to my first meeting, a woman's meeting, because I didn't like women very much. I didn't have anything in common with you girls because I couldn't get anything other than drugs from you, but it was a lot easier to get them from the guys, okay? And so I hung out with the guys. I knew how to work them. At least I thought I did. And the women were rivals, you know? I'm like, you guys stay back. I got this one. So the fact that I went to a woman's meeting was pretty weird. And even, you know, to this day, I look back, I'm like, that's God working in my life. You know, I see God in so many things in my life. And that's definitely one. But I walked into this meeting. There was a group of women in there that had come from work. And they were wearing fucking suits. And they had makeup. It was, like, appropriate. And they didn't have, like, shirts showing all the tits. And then, you know, it's like, so I looked in there and whispered, like, is this Narcotics Anonymous? And they're like, yeah, come on in. So I sat there with these women that looked like the kind of women my mother might have lunch with. You know, I had nothing in common with those ladies. And they started talking about shit. I was blown out of the water. They were talking about using, I had a pretty low bottom. These girls were worse, you know? Sticking hypes in their necks and shit like that. And that would have been coming for me, but I hadn't gotten there yet. And I just was like, how do you look like that and use, you know, it was like mind-blowing. And the other thing about that meeting became my home group, by the way. And that meeting, those women loved each other. You know, and we didn't have that on the streets either, because we were rivals. We didn't love each other, and we were backstabbing, and we were, you know, fucking each other's boyfriends or whatever. And those ladies loved each other, and they would share about stuff that was, like, heartbreaking, and they would cry for each other, and they would share about challenges that they had, and they would laugh with each other. And I had never experienced that before in my life. So I was attracted to that group of women. And I kept going to meetings there. And when I walked in there, I was still on methadone. And I was still drinking. And I don't know how long it was before they asked me to become coffee maker, but it happened really quick. And I think I was still using. And thank God for those ladies that trusted me to do that. It was the first time in a really long time that anybody trusted me with anything. They gave me the church had a number pad to open the door, and they gave me the code. And I didn't say this to them because I thought they would kick me out of the group because I still didn't know how things were working. But I'm like, you know, I'm thinking like, do you know who you're giving the fucking code to? You know, does this church have any nice shit in it? Because that, you know, this maybe isn't a very good idea. But they gave me the code, and you know what? My whole life, when I started using at 13, by the time I was 14, my life was completely unmanageable. And all I did for all the people that I came in contact with was use them. I sucked them dry. I manipulated if I could. I abused their trust. I just took and took and took. And I went to that meeting that became my home group, the Focus on Women group, and they trusted me to make coffee, and I started to feel like, for the first time in a really long time, I had something to offer somebody else. You know? That felt so good. That was my first service commitment. Part of the reason I'm so, like, shaky and emotional right now is because I am exhausted. Because that service commitment gave me a taste of, like, what it was to give back to somebody else. And what is even more special is, like, it gave me a taste of what it was to give back to you guys that have saved my life, you know? That's expressing my gratitude in action. And so I'm still in service. And I've been doing service here a lot of the weekend. I'm very tired. In that home group, at the Focus on Women meeting, I met my first sponsor. And, you know, one of the things that you guys have taught me is to walk through the fear. And I asked this woman that I thought was like the most spiritual being on the face of the earth. I thought she wrote Footsteps in the Sand. I did. She told us that one time in the meeting, and I thought she made it up. You know? So it took me weeks, but I eventually got all my arguments organized because I knew when I asked her to sponsor me, she was going to say no because I was not worthy of her, you know. So I got all my arguments together, and after a few weeks, I asked that woman to sponsor me, and I'm waiting for her to say, oh, I'm too busy, I'm this, you know, and I'm going to counter her. And she just said, sure. That was it. That woman also saved my life. I made a lot of horrendous decisions early in recovery. And some of them is amazing that I didn't use. One of the most difficult times I ever experienced was, because like I told you, I like guys, and that didn't stop after I put the drugs down. You know, I came in these rooms, and I kept all the old behavior. You know, because I didn't know about steps, I didn't have principles in my life, I didn't have any of that stuff that you guys have now taught me. So all the old behavior continued, I just stopped using drugs. So I came in this fellowship, and I'm bouncing from guy to guy, but what I didn't know is that I could not make love to a man that I didn't love and be clean and not have feelings about it. And so I tried that, and it fucked me up to the degree where I called my sponsor, and she met me at a restaurant like 10 minutes later and held my hand across the table while we both cried because of what I had done to myself. You know, my sponsor walked me through not only the steps, but living life and getting through all of the bad decisions that I made, especially early in my recovery. I met my second sponsor at that same home group, and she walked me through the rest of the steps, and was also and is also a very spiritual being. I eventually, at 3 years clean, moved to New York. And when I moved to New York, my sponsor told me, when you go to a new area, you're a newcomer. It doesn't matter if you were 3 years clean or, you know, what, how long you think you've recovered for or whatever, but you're a newcomer. And so she told me to get a home group, first thing. She told me to get a service position at that home group. And she told me to get people's, she told me to raise my hand at every meeting I went to and tell them I just moved there and get phone numbers from people afterwards. I was terrified about moving. I mean, I'd lived for 3 years in this one area. I was starting to enjoy life, and I did not want to use again. And I didn't think I could do it without the people that I knew that had now become part of my network. But I went through the fear, because that's what you guys taught me to do. And I went to New York, and I did exactly what my sponsor said. I got a home group in Bethpage, New York. I got a coffee maker position there. And I started calling people. And within like a very short period of time, 2 months maybe, I had friends, I had a network, and I had a woman that asked me to sponsor her. And that was the beginning of another awesome thing about one of the benefits of sponsorship. It's not only all the things my sponsor has taught me, but it's also the gifts that I've been given by being a sponsor. And the woman that asked me to sponsor her in Bethpage called me all the time. And for the first time in my life, I recognized that, like, I had something to give back to her. You know, that was the first time. I wasn't taken. I was listening and sharing my life with her and sharing recovery with her. And I knew that she benefited from us, you know, talking. And I, you know, that's like the first time I recognized, I knew I could be in service now and I knew I could help the group, but I didn't know I could have an impact on an individual. And I'm looking out here. There's a bunch of women that I sponsor that are here today, and some old friends that actually I have from that very first home group. And we had lunch together before coming here. And that, you know, that is one of the greatest benefits of sponsorship, is having these amazing women in my life that love me, that just took care of me for the last couple of hours because they knew I was nervous. And so they, like, you know, they're just like guiding me. I'm sort of like, you, whatever, you know, just take me. And they love me, you know, they love me. And it's not because I'm giving them money, and it's not because I'm giving them drugs, you know, it's because we're sharing our lives with each other. And it's such an unbelievable blessing of this program. I mean, who thought You know, I came in here to stop shooting dope. Who thought that I would get, like, these connections, these intimate relationships with other people that love me even when they know me, you know? My first sponsor, I went to her house to work a first step when I had about 6 months clean. And this is where I learned courage. Because she had me come, she lived in her parents' house. She was pretty young then. And the only place for us to get any privacy was her bedroom, which was a room about the size of two of these tables. And part of it was a single bed and nothing else to sit on. So I come up with my first step and we open the door and I look at the bed and I'm like, where are we sitting? And she's like, well, sit right here. And she sat down on the bed and she made me sit like right next to her. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't want to get that close to somebody, you know? It's like, what the fuck does she want me to sit on her bed with her for? I mean, it was frightening. But I learned about intimacy, you know? I learned that we were friends, nothing more, and that she was going to listen to me without judgment, and that she was going to walk this path with me. And she walked it ahead of me, but she was like reaching behind to pull me with her. Yeah, it is wow. I'm just like completely blank. This is what happens when you get really tired and you're me. I just get completely blank. So maybe that means I should shut up. But let me see if I can figure out a couple. There's so many things that I've learned about sponsorship and about home group. There's so many things I've learned about service that I've been taught. And, you know, I just couldn't give it to everybody. I can't remember all the shit that I know. I think I should shut up because I'm just, like, completely blank. Thank you very much for listening.